In the Bible. And back to that, the first chapter. We've been taking some time to get through Genesis chapter 1. And if you've been here for a while, just to give you good assurance, at some point and someday we will get to Genesis chapter 2. But you know, when you're laying the foundation, you better make sure that your composition of your concrete is correct, or else it's going to crumble on you at some time. You better make sure you get your rebars in. Huh? How's that? That's the extent of my foundation knowledge. I actually know what a rebar is. Yes. But you better get it right, because everything else that you're going to build is going to be built on top of that. And you don't want 20 years later, depending on where you live in town, or 10, to find, oh, where did that crack in the wall come from? Right? Because it came from something settling underneath that wasn't properly laid. So, hence, and we've seen, if you've been here, there is so much in Genesis chapter 1. It's just so much. I mean, it's the beginning. It's the start. It's where God spoke, and it was done, and we've come now. It's like saving the best for last. The creation of mankind. So, let me read. Follow along, please. Genesis 1, starting at verse 24 to 28. Doesn't take much. Then God said, I let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, sort of repetitive, as if we should get that. Cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing, incredible word. Thank you. What a gift we have. In it, we find out what we need to know about you, about your glory, about your spirit, and about your Son, Jesus Christ, and about ourselves. And Lord, it's good when we look at you. And when we look at ourselves, apart from the grace of God in our lives through Jesus Christ, it's not so good. As a matter of fact, it's not good at all. Which is more amazing, Lord, that you would send your Son for forgiveness, but not just forgiveness, and for eternity, but not just that, but to give us new life now. Thank you. Lord, I know there's different people, different places away from us here. Watch over them. Traveling, safety. You've helped some of our own church family here in times of sickness, illness. We thank you for that. Though there's others, Lord, we know who need your grace, need help. Help. Pray for the McCuskeys by name. Need your help. And if you would raise up Wes, for your glory, for his good. Lord, we pray for those who are serving the gospel around the world, and a few of them you have given us the privilege and responsibility of helping to support. We thank you and pray that you would bless the work of their hands and the fruit of their lips in drawing people to yourself. Lord, we pray for our country. Every week, something different, it appears. Lord, we pray for those over us in leadership, as your word tells us to. Pray for those who truly belong to Jesus Christ. Give them courage, backbones of steel and strength in the Lord. For those who don't know Jesus, Lord, change their hearts. Change their hearts, or at least limit the damage. But Lord, still our eyes are upon you. You're the judge of all the earth. You rule over all the kingdoms of this world. You set some up. You put others down. You hold the king's heart and the thought and mind in your hands. You can direct it wherever you want. So Lord, again, for our country at this point in its history, in your history, as to what you want to do and what you're doing on the scope of the face of the planet. But Lord, help us to be your people, to bring you glory while we have opportunity. And forgive us when we don't. So, Lord, please, pray for your blessing here. Pray for your mercies. Pray your Spirit would speak to our hearts, speak to mine. Give us ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Saving the best to last. So, this week, the creation of man. This week, the creation of man. Next week, the Bible means when it says made in the image of God. That's a mouthful itself. So, 3 points, huh? Good message. 3 points to a message. First point, what's the setting? He's going to create the apex of his creation. What's the setting? We'll go through that quickly. Secondly, what did God use? Thirdly, what did God make? So first of all, let's look at the setting, because everything that God has done through this first part of Genesis, everything sets a stage for this creation. So, about our Earth, the late astronomer, popularizer of science, evolutionist, atheist, Carl Sagan, who spoke on the cosmos, he described life on planet, he described planet Earth as an unremarkable pale blue dot, in which he thought there ought to be 1 billion other Earths scattered through the universe that could hold and sustain life. And yet, recently, there are 2 scientists, both from the University of Washington, both evolutionists, don't believe a whit of the Bible. Evolution, starting at the Big Bang, taking billions upon billions of years. And here we are. Atheists, at the same time, there's no God, doesn't have to be. Who have made some discoveries that our planet is actually very special. They would argue with Carl Sagan. It's very special. As a matter of fact, they wrote a book called Rare Earth. And they weren't talking about rare earth minerals. They were talking about why complex life is uncommon in the universe. Uncommon. So, I think that's interesting. Do you have something just of the earth? Creation of man, could have done this earlier. This is the classic evolutionary from chimps to human beings stages, and we'll get more into that next week, but that's a classic. I'm sure there's still science textbooks that have that type of diagram. Let's go to the next. Okay, there, Earth. Some things that we've seen, the creation of the Earth, and that God established. Just a lot of things. Okay, the Earth is going around the sun. 292 million miles we travel once a year. However, at a certain speed, if we traveled a little bit faster, just a little bit, doesn't take much. Think of a water balloon that's tied to a bit long, stretchy rubber band, all right? It's going around, you got it just right. Whip it around faster, just a little bit. What happens to the rubber band? It stretches. Slow it down a little bit, brings it in closer. If the Earth was just a wee bit slower, it would be closer to the sun. The heat would make life unimaginable. If it was a little bit farther out from the effect of gravity, it would be too far out, too cold, life would cease to exist. It's perfect. As a matter of fact, I want you to nail that word this morning. It's not a Greek word. It's not a Hebrew word. It's an English word. Let's practice it one time. Say it perfect after me. Perfect. If you want to say after each one of these, it's perfect. We're not talking close. We're talking perfect. As a matter of fact, scientists have called our Earth, it lies within the Goldilocks zone. Yeah, that's a great scientific term. So parents, school your kids on the story of Goldilocks. All right? Not too hot, not too cold, just right. Well, just right is just right, but we're talking perfect. It's been called the Goldilocks zone. That 292 million mile orbit takes 365 days and 5 hours and 48 minutes and 45.51 seconds exact to the hundredth and thousandth of a second every year. That's why there's a leap year, so we can catch up to it. Every year, exactly. How'd you like to travel that far and arrive on time every time? To the hundredth of a second. The Earth rotates while it's going around. If it rotated any slower, we would die by freezing. Heat could not dissipate through the atmosphere. If it would rotate faster, no, if it would rotate slower, yes, either freezing at night or lack of heat, freezing or burning during the day. So the rotation, there's so much here. Temperature of the world perfect to sustain water and life. You say to yourself silently, perfect. The moon. You know, the moon does two things. It's not just that the moon goes with tides. If we didn't have the moon, we wouldn't have the tides we have. And in time, sea life would die because those tides keep nutrition just nicely washed all over the place. It's not just for on the beach. The moon. However, the moon also keeps the tilt of the planet at exactly where it is. And if that tilt was off, it would change temperature on Earth as we know it. So it's perfect. The sun. I mean, God created this. The sun. With exactly the right amount of energy being produced for exactly what we need for life on Earth. So imagine your pot roast after church. If your oven starts to act up and go too cool, company's coming, not good for the pot roast. If it starts to act up and goes too hot, you're going out for lunch for dinner. Not good for the pot roast, same with the sun. Exact temperature, exact amount of energy, exact amount of heat, and everything else that comes. The sun, the right star. We have a good neighborhood, our little solar system, but of course the big kid on the block, do you have one of Jupiter? The big kid on the block, Let's see, what's that got to do with Earth? If Jupiter was even smaller, you know, big things have lots of gravity. Smaller things have less. If Jupiter were any smaller, you know what Jupiter does for us? It collects asteroids and comets because of its gravity. If it was any smaller and had less gravity, there would be a lot more asteroids and comets hitting, or at least trying to hit the Earth. A lot more. There's more out there than meets the eye. Anyway, it's the right gravity. By the way, gravity itself. If gravity was changed by one-tenth is 0.1. So you got a point, think of 30 zeros and a one. If gravity was changed by that small of an amount, we wouldn't be here. 30 zeros and a one. Not a tenth, not a hundredth, not a hundred thousandths. That's a millionth times a millionth, 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 millionth. 5 millionths times in a row. If it was changed by that much, that little. By the way, gravity from the Earth, it's just perfect. If it was any stronger, it would keep some of the heavier gases like methane and ammonia closer to the surface. We wouldn't do well in an atmosphere of methane and ammonia. Think Mr. Clean on steroids. If it was any weaker, the Earth would not keep the water that it does either. Goldilocks zone. And then we're not even, oh, the miracle of air. Okay, air is been called the miracle of air and everything that it does. And its composition, we've looked at this, the composition of air. It's just right. As a matter of fact, it's perfect. Do you know oxygen is not the main part of air? If there were more oxygen in the atmosphere, you wouldn't want to light a match for the fireworks that would go off without any help. Oxygen. It's perfect. The mixture of gases. One writer says, it's no wonder scientists calls it the Goldilocks zone for life. So we have the sun, moon, Jupiter, air, earth, orbit, gravity, rotation, water, distances, temperature. This is known as the anthropic principle. There you go. Anthropic principle. That means all the conditions that have to do with providing for and sustaining life as we know it. The anthropic principle. Perfect. The setting. What did God use? Well, for this, look at Genesis 2. Just for one verse. Genesis 2, 7. Don't get too excited. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Two things, dirt and breath. You've probably heard this story before. It's been around for a while. A group of scientists got together. This is a little bit in the future, decided man had come a long way, no longer needed God. So they picked one who will volunteer to go and talk to God, that they were done with him. Walked up to God and said, God, we decided we no longer need you. So we're to the point we can clone people, we can do miraculous things on our own. Why don't you just go and kind of mind the store somewhere? God listened patiently. And then after the science was done, God said, well, how about this? Let's say we have a man-making contest. The scientists replied, okay, we can handle that. But God added, we're going to do this just like I did back in the olden days with Adam. The scientists said, sure, no problem. So we bent down to grab a handful of earth, and God interrupted him and said, no. You go get your own dirt. dirt. What's the dirt on mankind? Now, a while back, I did a quick, and I'll go through it really quickly, of what our dirt has in it that makes it for plants to live, and therefore for your beasts of the field to exist and to have nutrition. Real quick list, this is like reading the back of a vitamin pill bottle. Most of this, some of this. In dirt, in the earth crust, oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, sodium, chlorine, magnesium, silicon, iron, fluorine, copper, zinc, aluminum, manganese, iodine, selenium, molybdenum, chromium, cobalt. In the earth's crust, what did God make man out of? Dirt. What do you find in man's physical makeup? Oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, sodium, chlorine, magnesium, silicon. Where's my aluminum? Aluminum, no wonder I drink pop out of an aluminum can. Did you know that aluminum supports the immune system, regulates blood sugar? It is involved in the production of energy and cell reproduction. And deficiency of aluminum in your body can lead to improper bone formation. Now, it's a small mark. Now, I'm sure I'm getting my couple molecules every time I hit that aluminum. Okay? Everything you find in the earth's crust is in the body of human beings, chemically. Like I said, it's like the back of a vitamin pill bottle, except for oxygen and nitrogen and others. But it's there. What God used. Only in exact proportion. And his own breath. I don't know what that involves. What's interesting is in the New Testament, I was looking through this morning, how many healings Jesus Christ did by just speaking. You know, when you speak, it uses breath. How many healings he just spoke. The person didn't even have to be there, he just spoke. Coming out of the breath of his mouth, the breath of life. And the dirt turned into something phenomenal. Let's get there. What did God make? Let's start small. What how small can we get, Dave? Not bananas, that's too big. Fruit, that's good too. Hey, are those black currants or choke cherries? Keep going. Blackberries, awesome, keep going. Because man has to live, you know, it's interesting. Why do the plants of the field have so many of the essential nutrient ingredients that our bodies need? That's sort of like God just performed the circle right there. Not just of the dust, but they pull these out, use them, we can eat them. So that your little kids who go around eating mud pies, you might not. I don't encourage that, but hey, there's some good stuff in that there mud there. It's my sense of humor, folks. Okay, you know, at least smile at me or do something. Okay, so let's keep going, Dave. I asked him to do this. I didn't know what he's come up with. Keep going. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Is there... I wanted to start with atoms. Do you have an atom on there, diagram? I want to start small, not with bananas. No atoms? I gave him a whole list. I appreciate David. I give him a list and see what he comes up with. No, that's way too big, First Baptist Church. Yes. Do you have one of those that look like they're out of a science textbook? Or is... No? Okay, well, picture of an atom. Start small. The human body is composed of 10,000 trillion atoms, greater number there than the stars in the universe. In each person, more than a trillion of these atoms, 10,000 trillion atoms, more than a trillion are replaced in every person 1/1,000,000th of a second. I'm getting dizzy. 1/1,000,000th of a second. 10,000 trillion. These atoms are composed of subatomic particles, even smaller, the particles that make up an atom. Some of those particles have a life shelf span of less than a billion billionth of a second. That's catch it while it's there. Life shelf span, a billion billionth. Keep going. Not even sure what's next. Oh, put atoms together and you have a human cell. Human cell is made up of a trillion atoms. I'm indebted to Dr. Richard Swenson. I actually heard him in person a long time ago. His book, More Than Meets the Eye. The body contains more than 10 and 100 trillion cells. We tear down and build up 1 trillion cells a day. And each cell is remarkable in its composition. Keep going. Remarkable. Oh, because it has these little motors, hundreds of ATP motors in each of those trillion some cells. These ATP motors are 200,000 times smaller than the head of a pin. And what do? Produce electricity. The cell has to have something to be able to move and do its function. So these little ATP motors are spinning at the rate of 100 times a second. But that's okay, they're so small we'll never see them. 100 times a second, creating energy, feeding themselves and feeding the cell. Paul said in the New Testament, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Oh, wow, not just spiritually, physically as well too, being renewed. So let's go, what's next? Heart. In a lifetime, the heart beats over 2 billion times, pumps 60 million gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels. You know that family tree of blood vessels? You have your big ones that go smaller, smaller. The smallest twig on the branch of the tree, a capillary. Some of them, the cells squeeze through one at a time. The capillaries have 70,000 square feet of surface area. That's all in your body. And its delicate wall of the capillary is several thousand times more fragile than your strongest toilet paper. More fragile. Oh, by the way, I said 60 million gallons of blood. Sure, because on average, an adult every day pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through the body in 24 hours. 2,000. Now I'm starting to get tired. Got dizzy, now I'm getting tired. By the way, for those of you who know of somebody who's expecting, and this whole thing of our country of abortion and just, you know, hey, stop it at some point. At 14 weeks, approximately, 14, 15 weeks, the baby inside the mother's womb already has a functioning heart that's pumping through about 7 gallons a day of blood inside. That's at 14 weeks. At about 2.5 to 3 weeks, there's a bunch of electric cells inside that come together and start to form the heart at 2 to 3 weeks. At 14 weeks, it's already pumping blood. More than meets the eye. And so no wonder Leviticus 17:11 says, the life is in the blood, red blood cells. Laid side by side, our red blood cells would stretch 100,000 miles, four times around the equator, our red blood cells, side to side. We breathe. Got some lungs there? Oh. Average lifespan, 600 million times, with every breath containing a billion trillion air molecules. Oh, by the way, back to blood. You can go back to blood. Jesus shed his blood for our forgiveness. And mathematically, in the first few drops, he shed enough blood cells for all of mankind, for all history, period. That was just a few drops. And as one writer said, one blood cell of Jesus is enough to do a person and more. First few drops, and he shed much more. Okay, lungs. Air comes in to the air sacs, the alveoli, however it's alveoli. 300 million of these, and the surface of them combined comes out to half the size of a tennis court. Tennis, anyone? The surface. Let's go to the next, the eye. The eye. This is what Charles Darwin of evolution said. If anybody ever figures out the eye, evolution's done for. Well, they did, but people still want to forget God and stick with what they think. This is one of the most complicated things in the human body, with over 100 million rods and cones that are taking continuous pictures. We don't see. Our brain doesn't see with sight. It turns into electronics that are transmitted to the brain, and then it's put back. And of course, like a good old-fashioned camera, it's upside down, and it gets to the brain, and it's put right side up. It is that in estimated, oh, here we go. The eye is so sensitive, on a clear night, wearing glasses if you have to use them, a dark night, it is estimated that 30 miles away you could see the candlelight of one candle on a dark night. The eye is that sensitive. It is estimated with what the eye does, computing all of this information, it would take a supercomputer, Cray, supercomputer, 100 years to solve what the eye does in a third of a second in its language of changing it into electrical impulses. The eye. The ear. Now, you thought the ear was simple, but it has a million moving parts, can vibrate 20,000 times a second, can distinguish among 2,000 different pitches. You know, we get direction from our ears. The ears can determine where a sound comes from up to a 0.00003. That's 3/100,000ths of a second difference from hitting one ear to the next. 3/100,000ths of a second difference. You can go, oh, for direction. Nose. Got a nose? Mouth? You got a nose in there? Yeah, that looks ugly. Next. There's a next. Do we have to look at that for a while? That's it? Ow. Okay, can we turn that off or something? Get us back to a nice flower? Noses and mouths work together. Nose can distinguish 10,000 different smells, but it works together with our mouth because we have 9,000 taste buds in our mouth and over 400 touch cells per square inch. But smell wins because smell is 10,000 times more sensitive than taste. That's why if you go in and, smell more than taste. Even though with taste, you can taste, if your tongue is working right, if you haven't burnt it out on too much hadan, Mexican enchiladas, hot sauce, if it's working correct, you can taste 4/100ths of an ounce of salt dissolved in 530 quarts of water. I said 4/100ths of an ounce. So nothing on the brain? Forget the tongue. Let's just... Oh, brain. Okay, so Isaac Asimov, popular writer, scientist, evolutionist, atheist, said basically of the brain, our three-pound brain is the most complex arrangement of matter ever discovered in the universe. Oh, coming from an evolutionary atheist. That's a pretty good compliment. It contains, you have a neuron? Yes, keep it there. Contains 10 billion neurons and 100 trillion interconnections that if stretched out would stretch out 100,000 miles. It contains enough information that you could stack 25 million books with the information that the brain can contain. 25 million, the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. has 17 million books. This would be a bookshelf that's approximately 25 miles long of good-sized books. It's your brain. By the way, one writer said, with the brain cells, God outdid himself because there are no two brain cells alike. No two. Not going to get to that. Bones are amazing. Get to the last. Do you have a picture of the DNA? Did you find a DNA? We're going to get to the best because it's in everything. DNA, the twisted ladder. A sugar and a phosphate make up the sides of the ladder, and bases make up the combinations. A, G, C, T make up the inside, bases, and it's put together to give a message. It's like code. Code, DNA. However, DNA stands for information because of the code. Information in us. If we were to take all the DNA out of a single cell, one cell in the body, remember how small that is, DNA would be over 5 feet long. One cell. But it's only 50 trillionths of an inch wide. So, if you took that one strand of DNA, stretch it to the sun, it would weigh a 50th of an ounce, stretched to the sun, that long. If you were to take all the DNA in your body and put it, if you were to take a single cell, forget that. If you took a DNA from all the cells in your body put together, it would squeeze down into the size less than an ice cube, DNA in your body. However, if you took that out and stretched it together, get out the super glue, it would stretch out 10 billion miles. DNA, just in your body. Information. By the way, the mind, the DNA, the information. No, never mind. You're getting the idea. I'm going to read what he says in. The biology is stunning. What about the theology? Scripture teaches we are made in the image of God, a little lower than the angels. Lower than the angels. God knows us even before he first forms our frame. He knows we are but dust and how frail. He knows every word on our before it's on our tongue. He knows the thoughts of our mind. He writes, as it turns out, we were not just some science project for a rainy day in heaven, but made for the glory and pleasure of God. When we gain a picture of how creative God what has done within us, it helps us to understand that we are more than just an organized set of atoms, let alone an intelligent animal. When we see God's handiwork, we see Him more clearly. We can have more faith in His power and less anxiety about our circumstances. Our frailty seems less bothersome when we realize we have been created by a God who can count to infinity backwards and recite the Encyclopedia Britannica in every known human language in a trillionth of a second. If we have trouble understanding the greatness of God, we should think more about the words infinity and sovereignty. How great is our God? I just want to end with this. The parallel, just to our five senses, how God created us, to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And Jesus would say, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. To taste, Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see. To touch, and the hand of the Lord. And how many times did Jesus touch? And I think it's in Daniel, the hand of the Lord holds our life in it. To see, he that formed the eyes, does he not see? And to smell, to be a fragrant aroma to God. Five senses. Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear from you as we read your word. Give us ears to hear. Lord, help us to taste and see that you're amazing. And I know, Lord, I've gone too long on this kind of stuff. And we won't look at this again. But if you're the God who created all this, how much more amazing are you than we think? How much more great are you than we think? How much more intelligent are you than we think? Lord, help us to taste and see that you're good. Help us to realize that your hand is upon the lives of all of your children for good. Lord, help us to see. You see us. Help us to see from our hearts, to see others in their needs who need Jesus. Help us to see and not be blind. And Lord, help our lives to be a fragrance to you, a good aroma, a good aroma. Lord, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.